How the hell did we end up with Wes 2 weeks in a row?
I don't know. He kind of just snuck into the chair, and he won't leave until we're done recording.
You know what it is he's here. This today was the last episode, the last Dan and Wes
Ultimate.
Episode. You and I are all kinds of diabolical planning right now, too.
Yeah, I would say we're giddy.
It's a good episode to have you here, Wes. Turkey Day was a few days ago, as of the release of this episode. I had a delicious turkey, but it's pretty basic. Nothing really unusual. I kind of want to hear what the beard Thanksgiving is like.
Pretty boring.
don't discount yourself,
well,
actually.
I mean, I met my girlfriend for the first time the day before Thanksgiving, and we kind of just hung out here for Thanksgiving. We ate macaroni and cheese, and we watched Parks and Rec.
Okay, that sounds great, actually.
Go fuck yourself for a second here. Can you unpack this a little bit? You met your girlfriend for the first time. I happen to know this because I drove you to the shuttle on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The day before Thanksgiving.
Correct.
And then you had Thanksgiving Day together.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just trying to visualize this. But so, say, you meet on Wednesday, you have 8 hours together, uh-huh. And then the next day is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The first time you've ever been together physically, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
A day where family comes together.
Uh-huh.
There's tons of pressure on this day.
Not really.
All these expectations.
No.
Fuck you. Yes, there is.
Yeah.
There's tons of expectations. There's tons of, like, Thanksgiving supposed to be.
Only if you want there to be.
What are you, some sort of fucking hippie over here?
He lives in a different world.
Like, fuck you. Like, the Thanksgiving's like, you got to meet with family. You got to be
Step
thankful
one,
for shit.
Move across the country from your main family.
So what did you do for Thanksgiving? What's the Beard's Thanksgiving?
Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, macaroni and cheese and Parks and Rec.
That sounds great. Those are both great things.
Did you really do macaroni and cheese?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you do Rick and Morty? What's the matter with you?
Because Parks and Rec is good.
I'm just kidding. What'd you do for... I actually, hold on. Before we move on, good for you. Good for you for not feeling like this awkward, like, phony pressure. Good for you for just enjoying, like, the time together. Like seriously, like, good for you guys. Like, I really respect that. So I'm giving you a hard time, but I really respect for, like the whole idea of, like, we don't have to, like, adhere to anybody's idea of what this party is supposed to be about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Props to that.
Yeah, we considered getting a turkey, but then we were like, that's too much effort. Let's just eat some food.
Yeah, totally. So I'm curious what a Wes Payne Thanksgiving looks like. I'm really curious, actually. And be completely honest, no judgment, because I have done all variances of Thanksgiving. So you cannot give a wrong answer to this.
I have some extended family that lives not too far away, so I go to my aunt and uncle's house most years, and we have a semi-large, it's like 10 to 15 people kind of gather together, have all kinds of good food, and just hang out. I don't see them. I see them probably like once or twice a year, so it's a good time to catch up.
My Uncle Joe has perfected the smoked turkey.
Smoked turkey?
Not the deep-fried, not the baked, but the smoked turkey.
Now that sounds good.
It takes years of perfection to smoke a turkey, and... God, if it's not the best. If it is just not the best damn turkey ever. And I, you know, myself, I think I have the best turkey except for Joe. Uncle Joe has the best turkey. But myself, I go with the Alton Brown approach. I do the brine. I do the cranberry sauce. I follow Alton Brown's recipe to the T. And it produces the best Thanksgiving ever. And my kids love it. But if I'm doing just, guys, Morty, if I'm doing just me, it is Uncle Joe's smoked turkey. Frickin' turkey.
See, that's nice. I feel like I'm now that I've gotten older and come into my own of the world, you might say, I'm slowly just going to take over more and more of the Thanksgiving, because there's a lot of people who cook a lot of fine food, but not all of them watch Alton Brown or look at modern culinary techniques. So yeah. I'm slowly trying to inject more of that knowledge.
You know, there is a engineer's approach to the perfect turkey. There really is a way to talk about a turkey in a system specs way, in a cooking way that is exactly like building a package on a Linux system. And I would love to do just like a one-off episode 1 year of building the perfect turkey.
That would be great.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
A future Jupiter Broadcasting project.
I would
project.
Be glad to help.
It's delicious. It's Thanksgiving
gonna,
or not.
It's going to be the show to launch JB Foodies.
I don't really have a game that doesn't involve the PC or a smartphone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have, like, an in-real-life game that I play. But growing up, my grandparents played the shit out of bridge. They had, like, bridge nights where friends came over, and they all played bridge, and they drank, and they ate hot dogs, and they played bridge. And I was surprised to learn that Mr. Wes Payne is a bridge player. Now, can you describe the scene to me, Wes? Like, how many people are playing? What's this all like? Like, what's the setup for? Like, whose house is it at? Like, give me all of it. I want to live through you.
Hang on. Before you even get that far,
yeah,
to an ignorant plebeian like me,
what is bridge?
Can you explain bridge to me?
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Do you play card games at all? Have you played anything like Hearts?
Not in, like, the past 15 years.
On the
years.
Computer I have.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. So, at its core, it's a trick-based game, which means you each have a quarter of the deck, 13 cards. Every person plays a card. Whoever has the highest card wins that trick. And then the goal, it's a partnership game, so the person sitting across from you is your partner. Your partnership wants to take more tricks than the opposing team. There's a whole complicated bidding setup that's also involved that determines which partnership is on offense or defense and some of the details about how the play goes. That's the basic idea.
So it's a game in which you build relationships and destroy friendships?
Absolutely, yes. And sometimes, you know, spousal relationships
and
as
your,
well.
And your partners are just whoever happens to be sitting across from you?
There's various
so
setups.
Like,
there are teams made that way.
Who you sit across from? Like, when you're, like, sitting down and there's, like, some chairs open and you're like, well, fuck, I don't want to sit across from that guy.
In, like, a big setup, if you could also, a lot of times people will have more permanent partners that they play with regularly if they're going to, a bridge club type.
That's how my grandparents did it. They had, like, a recurring monthly bridge thing.
So you need four players. That's a huge thing. It doesn't work with, you can kind of do three, but it's not really the same.
Okay.
So you need increments of four. So that's why it's like, you need to invite two friends or, like, six friends.
So it's like a social game by nature.
Yes. And a lot of the bidding is
Does your wife play?
Not terribly well. I'm really the one who's most into it. But I'm like 80 years old, I guess. But really, I think of it as a forever hobby for myself. I hope to play it for the rest of my life. And it sounds a lot like what you described. Generally, you're with good friends. People who play bridge are usually interesting. Fairly diverse, if old, crowd.
Excuse me.
I like to go to a bar or like a bar type restaurant,
really?
And then just play bridge for a couple hours. Yeah, have a couple beers, have some you know, finger food.
Excuse me for sneezing. So you go to like Seattle downtown bars and you play bridge with other people in your age range?
Absolutely, and it's a grand time.
How many of them are women? And be honest, is most of it women?
No,
because to me, bridge has always seemed like a ladies' game.
That's true. I think socially in some crowds, there is that component, but men, at least historically, for a variety of reasons, were somewhat dominant in like the professional bridge set.
It seemed like everybody's game.
But, oh yeah, absolutely.
But in my personal experience, it was like groups of women playing it. But it seemed like as somebody who was maybe going to get a little pee on the side, like you could go out there and you could play some bridge and you could get a little late night.
It is a great way to interact with people. The partnership aspect.
So you're saying it's a good way to get laid?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you're not looking to get laid, it's still a good way to
a good way to have a great time.
Yeah.
And
make new friends.
It's a sharp game. Like, it's a good way to stay sharp as you get older. It's very engaging. You have to spend a lot of time thinking. There's a lot to learn. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And it's also a fun game of communication because you and your partner, you're only allowed to say certain words to communicate.
Oh,
and, but
fun.
The whole goal is to communicate your relative strengths in different suits. And so you really have to work out a good trust and relationship with your partner.
So if you have a partner or you want a partner, it's kind of like a good game to get into.
Exactly.
Interesting. So how long have you been playing?
I've been playing since high school, so a little over 10 years now. Yeah,
you have been playing.
I love bridge. It's wonderful.
You son of a bitch. You mysterious.
If you'd like to learn.
I would
be happy to teach you.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like Wes is just this entirely different person that we don't know about.
I know.
He's been putting on
my mysteries.
He's some sort of bridge playing group sex master.
Well, we just end up talking about Linux and get distracted.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you've been doing this since high school?
He's like playing bridge with one hand and making chili with the other.
Yeah. I was lucky enough. One of my friend's parents, they really liked bridge. They were really friendly. They'd have us over a lot when we were younger. And I've always liked card games, poker, various things like that. So it was a natural fit.
Love to learn how to play because my grandparents played the hell out of it. And it seems like a great way to have like an ongoing social group.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a fantastic game.
Can you give me an elevator pitch on the game without making it boring? Or is that possible? Is that something we can even attempt to cover?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, so it's a game of communication, tactics, strategy. You really have to work with your partner, and there's just a lot of fun because...
And now, who's your partner? Is that defined by the rules of the game, or is that your choice? Because it sounded like the way you said it was just whoever you sit across from.
Yeah, no, it's your choice. So you need two partnerships to play, and then you... You play multiple hands of bridge. After a set number of multiples, you end up then calculating a grand score.
Do you tend to play with your lady friend, or do you play with like somebody randomly?
No, usually you'll invite four or eight total people together, and then form partnerships at the start. You can also
Are y'all smoking joints while you play?
Oh yeah, any inebriants are welcome.
I know my grandparents were all drinking wine.
Yeah, well yeah, having some beers.
Yeah, or
whatever
or
else
beer,
you
but
want.
But for them, it was wine. Everybody was getting drunk on
maybe
wine.
Some cocktails if you want to be fancy.
Yeah.
So is this a game where you need to like communicate with your partner, but then also not let other people on to what you're communicating?
No,
because that does sound fun.
Yeah.
The communication's not supposed to be secret, but it is limited. So the challenge is to express.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the way the bidding works is I say something like a bid would be three clubs. And that means I think I could take nine tricks in clubs. There's 13 total tricks. I'm saying I can take nine tricks in clubs.
Why are you? I'm sorry. I'm not following.
That's fair. No, there's no reason that you
what
should.
What is a trick again? I'm sorry.
A trick is a set of four cards. So everyone, you have four people.
Okay.
Each play a card.
Yeah.
The highest card, whoever played the highest card collects that trick. You want to collect as many tricks as possible. If I make a bid of three clubs, that means I'm saying I can take nine clubs. If I take that many, I get points. If you guys, because let's say you're on my opponent's team, if you stop me from that, you get points. And so it's a game of bidding where you then try to decide between the two teams who will get to be on offense and who's on defense. And so in that, there's a lot of fun and feistiness as you're wrestling over them. And it has that typical like auction scenario, right?
Yeah.
Where you're overbidding each other.
Yeah.
There's a suit order. So if I say three clubs, you can't say three clubs. You have to say something higher than that. So you're like forcing people into situations. There's also a lot of fun. Like you can double someone's bid. And that just usually means that like, I don't think you're going to make that. So there's all kinds of fun social cues and those sorts of things integrated in.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten like a big fight after a bridge game with your significant other? Like it's been like, why the fuck didn't you do X?
But I have seen a number of people in that exact situation.
You are too perfect, Wes Payne. You are too damn perfect. I'm sick. I'm skeptical. I'm officially skeptical. But I am I am genuinely intrigued about playing bridge. I would like to play with
it's
you.
A great game. I really it seems arcane, but it's a lot of fun.
No, it sounds like a lot of fun. It doesn't seem arcane at all, actually. And you know what? I'm kind of more into like the whole offline.
Yeah.
Just
well, and like you know,
things.
Other things are popular. Board games are popular today.
Yeah.
Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. The offline aspect of it is what kind of gets me fired up. What do you think, Beard?
I already decided that I hate this game and my head hurts.
Why?
That is fair.
Why?
Everything he explained makes no sense to me.
It is complicated, and it's a complicated
game to
teach.
It does sound like a lot of subtle communication between you and your partner, but that actually sounds like Hadia and I feel like, could go an entire day without ever speaking a word and completely 100% understanding each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
She and I could communicate through an entire day. And if there was a game where you could exploit that, I would fucking win at that game.
The other thing is, I will say, one of the things I love about bridge is that there is an accessible level in that, like if you can learn the basic rules, you can play a basic bridge game no problem with anyone. But there's also these huge levels of improvements and subtlety and extra levels of detail that you don't need to know, but are possible to overlay on
top. Well, and to that point, you know, my experience with bridge is not personal, other than my grandma, I don't know how to put this. Sorry to my family, but as she was challenged, as my grandma dealt with the downsides of Alzheimer's, like bridge was like the thing that she could go to keep her mind sharp. Bridge was the thing that she could go to keep a social structure.
Yeah.
Bridge was the thing that she could go to like keep one-upping everybody. And while the rest of her life was sort of fading away, bridge was that thing that she could still be really competitive at.
Wow.
So, when I hear about bridge, I'm like, yeah, I totally understand. Because for her, it was her social connection. She didn't have Twitter. She didn't have Facebook.
This is how she interacted with her group. Yeah.
She had people come over once a month. They had dinner and they had played bridge.
That sounds wonderful.
I'd love to play bridge. I think that'd be, you know, just for me, because I think about it as a podcaster. I think, boy, you know, as long as I can keep my voice and I can keep my mind, I can keep podcasting for as long as people will listen.
Right.
Here's a crazy idea, Chris. What if we did like an overhead camera and just had a board games podcast?
You and I are on the same page when it comes to
boy.
Like a live stream or a marathon or like a Will Wheaton sort of like style, like just playing some board games, playing some bridge. And if people didn't like it, they don't have to tune in. But it's available on the live stream.
That would be really fun, actually.
It would be a ton of fun.
Or we could just do like one-off shows at random times of the year that we release in our gaming feed.
You guys watch out. I may take you up on that one day. Last.ting.com. Go there and actually go there to support the show, but then go over to Amazon and get one of the Ting Sims on Prime and just stuff it in a stocking. Really. I hate to be that guy, but it's the time to do this. You can get a Ting Sim on Prime through Amazon and then just activate it when you need it and pay for what you need. It's pay for what you use, nationwide coverage with no contracts nor the termination fee. It's $6 for the line and then your usage on top of that. Your minutes, your messages, and your megabytes. You just pay for what you use. And let's talk about devices for a second. You can get a CDMA device. You can get a GSM device. I don't care. Ting don't care. It's up to you. They just want to give you access and service. And they have a great dashboard, a really engaged community, and they've been a sponsor for years. I've been a Ting customer for, wow, holy shit. We're coming on 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
How long have... You've got to be almost 3 years, too, for a Ting customer now.
Yeah, because you put me on it shortly after you started.
You're probably using it now more than ever,
too,
which is, and you know what, one of the great things is like, because you're pretty savvy about how you use your phone. I mean, it doesn't take a lot, right? It just takes like, oh, am I connected to Wi-Fi? Yes. Okay, well, now I'll download my albums. Now I'll download my podcast. Now I'll upload my photos.
Yeah, I only use data when I'm on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really not a big deal. It's so great because it means as a small business, I can give connectivity to the people that really matter to the business. And you can too. Family members, business members, it doesn't matter. When it's just $6 a month for a line, it's a whole new level of communication. Go to linux.ting.com. They'll take $25 off a device, or if you bring one. And remember, they got CDMA and GSM. So if you bring a device, they'll give you $25 in service credit. Now, my first month was about $22, so I got more than my first month with that credit. Linux.ting.com.
So, speaking of board games and all this stuff, while I was down in Seattle, I got a recommendation from someone for a place called Mox that I might be going to a lot soon.
Mox?
It's a place where you just go to play board games with people.
Oh, cool, dude.
I've actually been there.
You have? You've been to Mox?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah,
show
it is good.
Face. Really? So you're down there house shopping.
Yep.
So background, for those of you who haven't listened to the last few episodes, Beard's looking for a place in Seattle.
Yep. I was talking to the property manager of the place that we're hopefully going to be moving into maybe even this week.
No. How promising does that look?
I'd say like 85%.
Okay. So, talk.
They basically just got to go through the paperwork and decide that I am not a criminal.
An animal. How awful is that paperwork?
Ugh.
And here's legitimately what drives me a little crazy, and I have to admit it to you guys because it makes me a madman, is you have to fill out all of this paperwork, like background, recommendations, emergency contact, pet information, previous rental, all of this crap.
Every one of those.
And it's all like you filling out like a PDF
physical
form.
PDF if you're lucky, or it's
if
physical.
Lucky.
I had to fill out physical paperwork for my place.
It's actually backwards for me because I get to apply online, but I have to figure out how to get physical paperwork onto the internet.
Do you want to talk about that?
I mean, apparently, me.
Rick, okay, I'll tell. So Rick, I being an old man, comes to me today, and he says, hey, does Jupiter Broadcasting have a scanner? And I guess, actually, now that I think about it, hours later, the answer is yes. Angela has one. I didn't think about this at the time. But I was like, dude, Your smartphone has a camera?
No. You are way more of an asshole than that. You basically said, yeah, it's right next to our fax machine.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you call me an old man.
That is true. Yeah, because I've used ScanBot and Scannable for so many years now. And you know, they recognize the paper sizes, they capture them, and that's how I've sent them for so many years. Yeah. But it's like 1, 2, 10, 25, 35 pages later, where you have your background information, you have your rental references, yeah, you have your emergency contacts. It's so many things that feel like they're from the 80s that you have to fill out, where some hairless monkey fills out, like, let's see, Chris Fisher's phone number is 360.
Yeah, right. You're filling it out just to get it re-entered into some system at the other end.
Yeah. Hairless monkey is just entering all that shit in from the Word file.
We don't know how hairless. I mean, they might be pretty hairy.
Not even that. They might not even be entering it into anything. They might be writing it down on paper.
But eventually it gets entered back into a computer system for the bank to do some sort of risk calculation or...
But maybe not, because there's a lot of banks that keep all of their stuff in paper filing.
But legitimately, you guys, I lose a little bit of myself every single time I fill one of these out. I think to myself, why isn't this some sort of mobile interface where I'm filling this out on my phone and it just writes directly to their database and then they just check that? Why do I have to like write this on my phone or write this on my tablet or write this on my PC, print it out, give it to a person, then they transcribe it into a PC, which goes into a database, which they use to like enter it into their system. But like at the end of the day, all you're doing with all these forms you fill out and fax into them is just creating documentation for them to input into a computer system. You could input it directly from your web browser.
Let's go even up one more level. All of this information that I'm giving them, for the most part, other than stuff like emergency contacts, is stuff that our government is keeping track of anyway.
For your taxes.
Why can't I just say, hey, this person needs this information, and
share
I'm
with
allowing
them
access.
Ahead. I grant, like when you link an account to your Google account or your Twitter account or your Facebook, say, I grant
them
access.
Yeah, control, choose, and grant access they get.
Grant privileges to this person.
Yeah. So I haven't done what you're doing in probably 4 or 5 years since we converted this place into like a Jupiter Broadcasting property. I haven't gone through this. And it's like, tell me if I'm wrong, but it's like a background rental history.
Yep.
It is pet history.
Correct.
It is what else? A credit history.
Yep.
It is
criminal history.
Criminal history.
Emergency contact information.
Me. Yeah, like all this stuff is like.
Oftentimes there's like a whole bunch of like lead forms or other disclosures you have to sign.
All this stuff that like, I don't mean to be this guy. And I just want to.
Too late.
I got to apologize. But like, if we lived in 2025 when everything and all of the trust is just decided by like some sort of universally shared blockchain, then none of this is relevant.
You know what the worst kick in the nuts is? You get to pay for that privilege.
Mm.
You have to pay $40 per person on the application to get a chance at getting a place.
Yeah, you know, when you say that, when I was doing it, it was 25, but you somehow have managed to find places that if I was legitimately looking today, I wouldn't be able to find. I don't know how you have found the places you have
He's got that Google foo.
At the prices he has found.
Yep.
Because the prices for places I have found, like, I just took like a casual look on your behalf, and I've done that like a dozen times. It has been...
looked a dozen times on my behalf?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Thanks.
You're welcome. But and how many times have I telegrammed you?
Zero.
Exactly, because none of them were below like $1,500. And I honestly was getting to a point where I was like, fuck, Beard's never going to find a place under $1,700 that's even worth living in. And to your credit, you've not found one, but you found like two or three places.
Oh, I found dozens.
Yeah, well, two or three you've told me about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you've done that, because I've looked, and shit, places that are way worse than what you have found are way more expensive.
You have to be either very patient with Zillow, or the place that I actually found this place was Rent Seattle.
Rent Seattle. Yeah, you're crazy. You realize you're trying to find a place in Seattle at the worst fucking time ever in the history of Seattle.
Yeah.
You do acknowledge that, right?
Yeah.
Like, literally in the existence of this city, you are trying to find a place in the worst time.
Because Seattle is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Because they're continually raising the minimum wage and everybody likes that.
Yeah, well, they do. They do. What do you think about that, Wes?
I'm happy to have you as a future neighbor. I'm looking forward to that.
I don't know how far away you are.
Not too far. It depends on traffic. That's that's the other element.
Maybe we can go hang out.
There is a good bus line. Yeah, totally. It's kind of it would be in between us. So that sounds great. They've got beer and coffee and a cafe there. You can bring your board games over and play them.
Well, that just sounds like Seattle.
It's wonderful. Yeah,
that's Seattle in a nutshell.
There'll be several people there with mustaches. You'll take it all in.
I wasn't even really in the market, but I told our local Humane Society, our Skagit community. Like Humane Society, I said, if you find a terrier mix that's about this weight, about this size, with this temperament, please let me know.
That is specific.
Yeah, I've had a lot of dogs.
You knew what you were looking for, yeah.
I've had a lot of dogs. Have you had dogs growing up? Have you had dogs?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I have two dogs now.
I didn't know that about
you. That's true, yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of dogs?
One is a lab mix, and the other one is half Yorkshire Terrier, half American Bulldog.
So one's, like, really big, and one's kind of, like, medium size?
Medium and medium. One's actually, like, real medium. One is medium body with short little legs.
Like, what are your weights?
Let's say 35 and 55.
Oh, okay. I would consider 55 definitely a medium-sized dog.
Yeah.
My background is my stepmom, growing up, was a vet technician.
Oh, yeah.
And my family was the receiver of dogs that were meant to be put down, but didn't have anything majorly wrong. But the owner just didn't want to pay for it, so they just decided to put the dog down. And then she would bring it home. Instead of killing the dog, she would bring it home. And so we ended up with just all kinds of dogs.
Wow.
So I had a Burmese mountain dog.
Oh.
I had a border collie. We had all kinds of. We had poodles. We had all kinds of dogs.
I'm personally a fan of the classic husky.
Yeah, the huskies are gorgeous. Smart too.
I actually want a husky corgi mix.
Yeah,
those are pretty adorable.
Tiny baby husky.
And I found a mountain cur terrier mix, which is my perfect dog. My perfect dog. Just good size, good for the RV, good travel, really smart, curious. They just want to know everything. Like, you talk to them and they tilt their head and they try to understand what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I found one. And I found one and I wasn't planning on it. And the Humane Society had one. And I went in there and we met them. And it was like love at first sight. And it hit me in a way I didn't expect. Because I haven't had a pet in 8-9 years since I've had kids, you know. I just haven't had pets. And I was like, wow, I was blown away with like how much this dog touched me. And I felt a little guilty about it, like about being emotionally affected as much as I was. And so I thought, well, okay, let's ground ourselves. We'll come back in a couple of days. We'll bring the kids and we'll see if it's a really good fit. And so Hadia and I packed up the kids and we went in on a Saturday and we spent 45 minutes with a dog named Toby.
Oh,
and I tweeted a picture of him. He was cute. He was black and tan, so he had the color matching of Lady Jupes. And I just loved the kids. But they decided to give it to another family. And what a heartbreak. What a heartbreak. And so now it's like I don't know what to do. Because I don't want to go back to the Humane Society because they can just randomly decide that a dog I fall in love with. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I really connected with this dog. Maybe it's because over my life growing up, we had terriers. We raised terriers. An adult, Angela and I had two terriers. So something about like mountain curs and terriers, like I really connected with this dog. Like
He's adorable. Gosh.
Did you see a picture of him?
Yeah, I pulled him up. Yeah.
Yeah, you did? Isn't he cute?
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah.
So sweet. And he, you know, he wanted to
big,
snuggle more.
Intelligent, bright eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a little teary eyed when they gave him to somebody else.
I'm sorry.
No, you know it is what it is. But
are you going to keep trying? Are you like, were you? Is it dog time now?
Well, that's what I kind of feel like. I kind of feel like I've realized what I did is I spent a week visualizing every single day with a dog. Like, what would Linux Action News be like with a dog in the studio? What would it be like if I had to go visit the kids with a dog in the truck? Like, what does all of this look like? What does my life look like with a dog? And in every single instance, it felt like an augment and not a detraction. If it's the right dog.
Yeah, it has to have the right temperament to fit your lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, and be willing to travel.
Not bark during shows.
Not bark. Be willing to, like, be my passenger while I'm driving Lady Jubes.
Co-pilot, even.
Be here in the studio and not bother Rikai and not bother us. Like, those are all the things that, these are all the boxes that have to be checked. And I don't know, it felt really good. But what I was surprised by was the sensation of family when I brought the kids. So I brought Bella, and I brought Abby, and I brought Dylan. And we go into one of these, like, office rooms that they have for the staff at the Humane Society. We go in there with Toby for, like, 45 minutes. And I was surprised by the sense of family, you know, because, you know, we're post-divorce a couple of years now, but I only get to see them for a couple of days a week. I was surprised by the sense of, like, togetherness that this dog brought to all of us. And you know, we're at the junkyard. We have this huge, 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 huge yard. Huge.
That's
biggest
awesome.
Yard I've ever had. And it's completely fenced. You know,
wow, that's perfect.
Perfect for a dog. You know, we're living in an RV. We travel all the time. Perfect for a dog.
Yeah.
Three kids. Perfect for a dog. So now I'm thinking I am in the market.
That's
awesome. To answer your question, I think I am in the market for a dog. I didn't know you had two dogs.
Yeah. I love dogs.
Yeah. I've always, growing up, my entire life had dogs. The only time I stopped having dogs was about a year and a half after Dylan was born. We realized he had significant, major, really bad fucking allergies.
Oh.
Like, really bad. We got to address this. And we ended up giving the dogs to, like, a farm near here. It was the hardest thing I ever did.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because these dogs were my kids.
Yeah.
And now Dylan, 8 years old, is at a point where the allergies are not as significant as they used to be. Like, used to be, like, it was the grossest thing. Like, when Dylan first started having allergy reactions, the white of his eyes got about 10 times the size. Like, it ballooned outside his eyeball. It ballooned.
Wow.
Like, it was this huge, like... It was gross. Like, this huge puffy white thing that was, like, hanging like a fish. Have you ever seen those goldfish that have the huge eyeballs?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you ever seen those?
Uh-huh.
It looked like that. That's what it looked like. That's what Dylan looked like when he was around pets. And I'm like, well, fuck, we got to get rid of our dogs. It's my boy. But now it's a totally – he's 8 years old. He's had allergy shots. It's a totally different world now.
It's manageable.
And he's invested.
Yeah, and he wants a dog, too.
I bet, right?
Mm-hmm. But they gave Toby to another family. They gave him to another family. So the dog process has just begun for me. Like, now I kind of realize what kind of animal that would work well for us. But yeah, it's like, I don't want another dog. I want that dog.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Totally. Mm-hmm. You fall in love. You start thinking about it. You mm-hmm. build it into your life.
Mm-hmm. And I start visualizing it. Yeah. Yeah. It was, I'm not going to lie. I teared up. I when we got the news that we were declined, I don't know. It was just because it clicked so well for the kids. You know, all three kids connected with the dog. I connected with the dog. I went in there thinking I would have this detached sort of.
I'll objectively analyze if this is a good dog for me.
Yeah, I'm a pet owner, and I've had many pets in my lifetime, and I can remain emotionally detached from this animal. And I went in there, and this animal totally
walked all over you,
disarmed you.
It totally disarmed me. This animal looked at me in the eyes with its brown eyes, and it completely disarmed me. You can see a picture on my Twitter feed. It's just the cutest dog ever, and it is devastating. Devastating. After three kids, myself and Hadia go in there to see this dog, and then they give it to another family. I'm offended. Like, how do you know? How do you know I'm not a good fit?
Yeah, right.
What makes you?
What's this other family got?
Yeah, what do they got that I don't got?
Certainly not a podcast network.
Oh man! And you know what I realized is, the terrier has been a good breed for me my entire life. I've grown up with terriers. As an adult, I've had terriers. They're energetic. They're curious. They're loyal. It's like me in a dog. So I don't know if anybody out there in the Washington area has any advice for me. Tweet me at Chris Elias because I'm heartbroken. DigitalOcean.com. Create an account and then use our promo code. Here's the thing. It's one word, and that's important because it'll give you a $10 credit. Now, my favorite rig is just 3 cents an hour. DigitalOcean.com. Get started in less than 55 seconds. All SSDs and a dashboard. I don't know. A beard. I'm out of lack of words. Give me a descriptor for the dashboard.
It's a dashboard for days.
Days. As in, you could use it for days and still be impressed of how goddamn excellent it is. DigitalOcean.com. Block storage, object storage, team accounts, network firewalls, monitoring, get deployed in seconds, the distribution of your choice, and documentation that you can look at and really get a sense of it's easy to follow, easy to implement.
And APIs for all of it.
APIs for all of it. Oh, that is really good. Honestly, you got to remember that. They should run with that.
Ooh.
Now, if you're Wes Payne, you may want to just use DigitalOcean to get some S done. And Wes, you had a little use case recently that I'm like, you got to talk about in the show because I want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so sometimes you're watching YouTube and you realize that their playlist functionality is just garbage. Pure garbage.
The worst.
You're tired, it just won't play anymore. All you want to do is watch a few videos in
a row.
All
I want to do, Wes.
Yeah, but thankfully here, you know, we know a little bit about YouTube DL and FFmpeg, so you can use DL, roll your own YouTube stream. Put some Nginx there, host it up, cast it to the Chromecast near you, and boom, done. No more hate, no more anger, just entertainment.
I love it. I love that that's your 15-minute solution to solve YouTube buffering. DigitalOcean.com, use our promo code Here's the Thing. Take advantage of that dashboard for days and that API for...
I already forgot.
So, last week was Black Friday.
Yeah, man.
And this Monday was Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
I got something you guys are going to be super jealous of.
Really? But I was going to say it's a flop this year.
But first, I want to hear if you guys got anything.
The best thing that I got was a 12-foot roll of LED lights.
Oh, nice.
Like tape strip that you just tape somewhere. And I'm going to do my whole bedroom. I'm going to make it a sex palace.
Is it good? Smart device controlled, I assume?
100%, yeah. Dude. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Hey Siri and the shit out of that sex palace. Yeah, buddy.
Hey Siri, it's bone time.
Yeah, I got a good 12-foot roll of LED lights. I got a couple of presents for the kids, and I got a present for my grandpa, a Raspberry Pi 3 case.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's already here, and it's the best Raspberry Pi 3 case I've ever seen. So for my grandpa's birthday, Christmas present, I'm going to give him a Raspberry Pi 3 in this case, all set up, ready to go, running Ubuntu Mate.
That's great.
Yeah. What about you? Did you get anything good?
I got nothing, but I did spend way too long eyeing a sous vide cooker.
What do you mean eyeing? Why didn't you buy it?
Well, you know, I don't know. I was torn. I've been thinking about getting into this anyway. This model just happened to be on sale, so I was already a little skeptical because I like to do more research.
Which one was it? Do you remember?
The Anova model. It was only the 800 watts, the Bluetooth only.
Oh, the older one.
Yeah, the older one. So I was already well, I don't know. But it was cheap. I'd also seen a huge number of reviews. Now, I might not use the Bluetooth functionality, but apparently they've recently made a change where that app now requires a Facebook or Anova login to even just operate your Bluetooth enabled cooker. So I thought that was a little bit absurd. I ended up not jumping on the ship. I think I'll spend more time doing some research, deciding on, you know, what I actually want. But
what made you interested in doing the sous vide thing?
I've been interested for a long time. You know, we had that great Linux Unplugged.
Why though?
I just love cooking meat. I have a real appreciation for well cooked meat. It's probably the most fun thing to cook.
Especially fish.
Yeah, right. Yeah, fish. Really everything.
It's really good. Yeah, fish on the sous vide is really
good. It just makes so much sense. You know, physics background, it's such a great way to cook things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real here. Chris is wanting you to say that he inspired you.
No, really. He almost touched on the physics thing. It's like scientifically, it's like a superior way to cook your meat.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you look at the beautiful steaks that come out of it. And...
Mm-hmm. We do this all the time in the rig. We sous vide a piece of meat or a piece of fish, and then we, like, you know, 10 seconds, we fry it, and then we just sear it.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yesterday's lunch, yesterday's dinner were all sous vide meals for me.
It's also the only way to get meat the way I prefer it that still has its flavor, and that's well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it is.
Because it retains all the flavor.
Yep. It is a way to get really good tasting, well done meat. Which people don't talk
about. People don't talk about that at all. No. But you're, like, whatever temperature you're cooking to, it's just probably the best way to do it.
It is. It is. So sous vide is basically cooking your food in a bath. Yeah. A hot bath.
Yep.
And
but then also a second bath that is all the flavor of all your food.
You know, when Hidi and I, like, on Sundays, we're like, oh God, like, what can we do? What could we do? Because she runs a clinic and I run this network, and we're like, what could we do to, like, minimize our lunch time? To just make it as healthy as possible, but not take as little time as possible. And the answer often is you pre-cook it in the sous vide on Sunday, and then you just finish it the day you want to eat it.
Yeah.
And
That seems perfect.
Why is it different than slow cooking, though? What makes it different than a crock pot, do you think?
I think, for one, the precision. You know, you can really, part of the magic is setting it to be, you know, a temperature really close to what you want to finish the meat at, and so that you have that, you have that really slow, controlled.
It doesn't taste like cat
food. Yeah, because that's really the problem with a lot of other things, right, is you have this large temperature differential, and you get inconsistent results.
Yeah. Do you guys know what the number one Black Friday item was?
No.
Nope.
Really?
I have no idea.
How the fuck? Guys,
you mean like based on Amazon?
Yeah, just based on, but that is the dominant sales number. It's like by far, it's like 200% above any other item on Black Friday.
Is something sous vide?
Blender.
It is kind of sous vide related. It's the Instant Pot. Have you heard of the Instant Pot?
Is that one of the pressure cooker models?
It's a pressure cooker, slow cooker, sous vide kind of thing, all in one. And this dude, this Asian dude, has just made it. He's like a software developer.
Wasn't it also on like a super super heavy sale too though?
Yes, it was like reduced from 150 to $88.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's like a slow cooker, so it's a crock pot, it's a sous vide, and it's a pressure cooker all in one. That's pretty fancy. But what I ended up with, so this entire week, it's kind of funny that we're talking about this, because this whole week, I've been bringing food, lunch, and dinner for some days in a Ziploc bag.
Nice.
And I just throw it in the microwave.
Look at you. Yeah.
Yeah. Hadia cooks it ahead of time in the sous vide, and then I just throw it in the oven.
That seems perfect.
We have like a cast iron skillet. I just throw it in the oven to finish it off, or I throw it in the microwave, and I eat that.
You can throw that on some salad if you want, or really whatever. Put it on a sandwich.
So the sous vide thing is real. I think you should do it.
Do you have any tips for me in terms of things I should look out for, or mistakes you've run into?
Dude, here's the thing.
Or it's all just a big crapshoot.
Like, I've got a container. I've got a sous vide container.
Yeah.
Like, I've got, like a separate thing. And I've got, like, balls that you put in the water. And, like, I've got...
What do the balls do?
Well, they hold in... They like...
Just to have better temperature retention?
They insulate.
Yeah.
They insulate the water.
Yeah.
So there's... It's very geeky. It is truly a geeky thing. It's geeky cooking because you can do nothing, or you can really geek out on like the ways that you do this, and it's fun. It's neat. But the one you looked at, the 800 watt one, it's fucking shit, dude.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. Yeah, I was like,
So I've got the one that Gabe's son had worked on. Do you remember the Jewel? Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gabe's son worked on this one. That's the one I have at the RV. And then what was the brand you were looking at, Wes?
Anova.
Yeah. That's the brand we have here at the studio. So at the studio, I've never once connected my phone. I've never connected it to Wi-Fi. I've never connected it to Bluetooth. It just has a little dial, dude. And you just boop, 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 dial it.
That's the temperature you want?
And then you just start and it goes.
Yeah.
Dustin was here and he was cooking some food. Or maybe it was Adam. Dustin and Adam were here from Vancouver. They were cooking food, dude, during our 4th of July thing for LUP.
That was wonderful.
In a crazy homemade container.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have one here. I'll show you my setup here in the studio.
Yep.
I have basically the same setup in the RV, just a different like sous vide machine. But if you were trying to think of a way where you could just sort of put food in a thing, and then by dinner time you're ready to eat and you don't have to think about it, this is a better way to go than the slow cooker.
Yeah, totally. Now, I do already have a slow cooker, but it doesn't excite me.
Fuck the slow cooker. Like, if you're a geek and you want to have some good food and you want to be able to put something in there that cooks in a bath, and then you just can, after a hard day's work or an easy day's work, I'm not going
to
judge.
Do I have to do work? Can I just eat food? That's what I would prefer.
Yes. And then it's just there. It's ready to go, and you can finish it on your stove. I really like it. So I would advocate to you, fuck the Black Friday thing and just try to get one.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, or you can get the Instant Pot and get both.
Yeah, maybe. I am considering getting the Instant Pot. It's on my
list.
I'm
considering it, too.
Yeah.
I do want a smaller pressure cooker. I have, like, a giant, I don't know, multiple quart pressure cooker that is great when I want to make a giant pot of something, like a giant chili.
You have used a pressure cooker?
Oh, yeah. I use it to make chili every year. It's wonderful. Or it's, like, great for stocks and stews. And...
I'm sorry. You make chili every single year?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, only the past, like, 5 years, but yes.
Here's a question. Is it beer-infused chili?
How long have I known you, beer. Dude? How long have you been doing LUP?
At least a couple years now, I suppose. You're right.
How many times have you brought me chili?
Zero times. Chris, that's true. All right. Well, this year, this changes.
I think you missed it. It's beer-infused chili.
You put beer in that chili?
Yeah, there's usually some beer in there.
What else do you put in there?
Lots of peppers, some meat.
Yeah.
Some beans.
Yeah.
Garlic. Onions.
These are all things Chris likes, and you haven't told him about it.
I don't understand. I literally cannot comprehend this.
Is Wesley your friend?
You tell me for 2.5 years you've been making chili and you've never brought me any chili.
I've made less in the last couple years than I normally do. So
when would you normally make this chili?
Anytime now. I mean, now that it's like wintry. Anytime until, let's say, April or
What would it
May.
Take to incentivize you to make...
Very this? Little.
I feel like this needs to happen.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to have a...
Do you have a really good butcher that you like? That would be a good one.
Yes.
To get some good meat for this going. Okay.
Yes, I very much do.
Excellent.
Are you serious right
now?
Yeah,
absolutely.
What would it take? What would it take for you and me to make chili? What would it take?
A little bit of planning and
I feel like it would take basically you being here 2 days a week for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So like you got to come here on Tuesday and you got to come here for a tech snap.
Yeah, true.
For like 2 weeks. And in the slack time, you and I can make some...
We can just make some chili happen. Throw it in the pot.
Beard, can you think of any reason why this shouldn't happen?
I don't like chili. So while you guys are talking about shitty food that I don't like, I'm going to tell you what I got for Black Friday.
Did you get hardware, dude?
I did.
Oh, man.
Hardware.
Before I tell you, do you guys want to take a guess at what it is?
So it's either going to be storage or graphics, I think. That's been the Black Friday thing for the last couple of years.
That's
right?
True. What about some sort of super fancy curved monitor?
Or some crazy hosting deal.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's like four things. So,
although that's not hardware, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say it's either some crazy hosting deal. It's going to be some crazy graphics deal, but I'm going to say that's the least likely. Some crazy storage deal, which I'm going to see is the most likely. Or what's the last one, Wes? Anything? Three? Okay. What was it?
Well, I'm gonna say that I think Wes cheated because I think I might have already told him, but it was a super fancy curved monitor.
Hey yo!
No.
No, I'm gonna tell you what it is.
Oh man!
And then you're gonna tell me how much it originally costs, and then how much you think I paid for it.
Okay, I'm down.
So it is a 34 inch.
Oh. What?
1440p.
Oh.
Ultra wide.
Good, dude. You are hitting all the sweet spots.
Yeah. IPS. 120.
No. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, 120 refresh rate.
What's the brand?
Dell.
Boy.
I got to guess.
Technically Alienware.
And I got to guess the price. Yep. Oh, it's technically Alienware. Thank you. Okay, that's a really... What's the display connector?
I believe it has a display port and two HDMI.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be using DisplayPort.
Yeah.
He's not an animal.
Boy, what would you pay for something like that?
I don't know, 500?
Yeah.
700?
Yeah, I was thinking 565. I was thinking 720. I was thinking 435 were my prices.
Yeah, you're all way low.
Low?
Yeah. It's a $1,500 monitor.
Yeah. It's 34 inch, right? 34 inch. Yeah, because,
34 inch ultra wide.
Yeah.
IPS.
Yeah. 34
120
inch.
120 hertz. That's the one that makes it really expensive.
Yeah. Those prices I just gave you were like 24 and 27 inch prices. Yeah. I can't even, I don't actually know. Because the most expensive monitor I've ever bought in my entire life is a 30-inch.
Yeah, it's a $1,500 monitor.
Somehow I don't think you paid $1,500 for it.
No, but just, I immediately know how much I want that monitor. I just had to sit there for a second, like when he said that. I took a few seconds, like, God, I want that, immediately.
Can we take him, just like you and me, on him? We can split every other day. You get the monitor for a day, I get the monitor.
Yeah, that's totally worth it, dude.
Yeah.
600? 700.
Oh, for what I paid?
Yeah.
What do you think, Wes?
500.
That's super generous. An IPS 34-inch IPS, dude, is IPS.
Oh, yeah, true. Hertz. Okay, yeah.
120 hertz, right?
All right, what about...
Ultra-wide.
Yeah, I don't feel
950.
Like... 950. Yeah, I feel like that's much closer. 950 is much closer.
800 on the nose.
Oh! That is really good.
Yeah. Dell had it for 500 off themselves.
Yeah.
And then I got like something like 20% cash back.
Dang.
That is a 7-year monitor.
Easily. Of a really cool website called Be Frugal.
Be Frugal.
Yeah.
That is definitely a 7-year monitor. Nice one, dude. Nice. Yep.
I also bought a second monitor that wasn't as good.
Man, the best thing I got on Black Friday was LED lighting. Did you do any Black Fridays, dude? Did you, Wes, do any Black Fridays?
I didn't make it to any. I looked at the sous vide and then...
Yeah, that was it. Huh?
And then I went home.
And then he cried.
Yeah. I did the Black Friday. I did the Raspberry Pi case for my grandpa for him. And that was it. That was it. I didn't see any. Where did you get? Did you get that shit on Amazon?
No, I got off Dell actually.
Yeah. I should have checked Dell. I should have, especially with Bitcoin.
If you're looking for PC stuff specifically, there's a subreddit called /r/ build a PC sales,
mm-hmm.
where they
mm-hmm.
just 24/7 do stuff.
Yes.
I just went there on Black Friday.
Yes. Also, the thing about the Dell peripherals is having some behind-the-scenes experience, like they really work on that stuff. They really work to make it right. I think that's going to be a great monitor. I have a 30-inch Dell today, and it's one of my favorite screens. And I bought that years ago. So I think that's a great purchase, dude.
Yep, that's the next to last component for my streaming rig.
When you enter a new relationship, the holidays are always the most trepidatious, right? Is that a word we can all agree on, trepidatious? Moments of the relationship. How are you going to do Thanksgiving? How are you going to do Christmas? How are you going to do New Year's? I'm curious, Beard, because between the three of us, you have the newest relationship. How has that Thanksgiving holiday gone for you and the new relationship?
Well, as you heard earlier, the Thanksgiving itself was actually pretty good. I had macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese for Thanksgiving. Have you done that?
I haven't, but it sounds great. I love mac and cheese.
I did that one year. I did macaroni and cheese for Thanksgiving. It was great.
You just put some turkey in there. Boom, done.
For me, the potential relationship destruction comes into the fact that my girlfriend is not a big fan of Five Guys.
Oh.
Not only that.
Uh-oh.
She likes McDonald's.
What do we have before this episode?
Not quite enough Five Guys.
Yeah, we had like
4.5 guys.
Yeah, we had 4.5 guys. We had 3 burgers with multiple stacks of meat, onions, peanuts, and it still wasn't enough.
And the strange part is it's not the thing most people don't like about Five Guys. Most people say the burgers are okay and the fries are great. She hates the fries and thinks the burgers are pretty okay.
Huh.
I don't know what to do with that. Because I feel like you could still enjoy a good burger and never even touch the fries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the part that confuses me is that she is telling me that Five Guys fries are terrible.
No, they're not.
But she loves McDonald's fries.
Well, McDonald's has like good thin fries.
They are good. Yeah, they're almost different classes of fries.
I completely disagree. I think that they are wet strips of cardboard.
McDonald's fries, when you get them just at the
right moment, fresh,
are the ideal of fries, right?
I would say that's Burger King fries. Fresh Burger King fries are nice and crispy.
No, they got that.
I hate myself flavor.
Yes, they do.
But they're so good,
right?
Because of that.
No, McDonald's fries want to be the it's okay just to have fries fry, but they are adding some sort of like bouillon cube to make them that
MSG spray.
And like a spray,
just a spritz here and there.
Right, where the McDonald's fries are a unique product. I think you're right in this particular case. But you know what it really comes down to is the dipping sauce. What do you do for the dipping sauce, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Do you do the ketchup?
Now that's fighting territory.
Right. Do you do the ranch?
I'm a ranch fan myself.
I'm a fan of the honey mustard.
Me too. I'm a honey mustard guy. What about you, Wes?
I like ranch. I mean, okay with ketchup. Ketchup's not bad.
Yeah, the problem with the honey mustard and the ranch is both of them are subject to implementation details.
Oh, very
much so. I feel like ranch, however, is way...
A bad ranch is just... Ugh.
See, that's not a problem for me because I hate ranch of every kind.
Well...
I'd say there's only one or two, three, I don't know, a limited selection of good ranches, so that's not unsurprising.
I agree. There's like very few ranch implementations that I'm on board with.
The problem with honey mustard is a lot of places just don't have it.
No, there's nothing wrong with honey mustard.
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying it's a problem that not every place has it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with honey mustard.
But at the end of the day, our relationship was saved by the fact that we both decided that Jack in the Box has the worst burger and fry combo ever.
Did you get curly fries or are you talking about...
Oh, curly fries. Curly are pretty fries. Good.
We got curly fries.
You son of a bitch.
Jack in the Box is the most basic bitch shit ever. I even went and got the ultimate burger.
It's cool.
I tried their breakfast.
No, nobody's got better. Don't denigrate Jack in the Box breakfast. Don't do that.
I've never had it.
The hash browns were too wide. That's all I've got to say.
Well, I have to be fair. I do not judge on hash browns alone. I judge on the sandwich itself.
Yeah,
I
can't. The sandwich was fine.
I can't say anything about their breakfast. Just their burgers and their fries are the worst.
I can't, dude. I can't. Jack in the Box. I can't.
I would rather have McDonald's.
Stop it! No, Jack.
Yeah, this doesn't feel quite right.
Okay,
it is so tasteless.
Okay,
at least this Jack in the Box over by Safeway.
Okay, I don't want to be triggered by you, dude. But Jack in the Box has the best burgers. Arby's has the best sandwich, and McDonald's has the best fries. And I don't even understand why we're arguing.
You are so wrong. Arby's has the best fries. Five Guys has the best burger, and
If you want to include Five Guys with McDonald's and Jack in the Box, then we can. That's a totally different conversation.
Well, okay. I'd rather have a Burger King burger than any of them.
Hmm. I can get on board with that.
Yeah, that's all right.
With maybe a Jack in the Box stacker. Secondary.
Quad stacker. That's...
But I would rather have a Market Fresh from Arby's than any of them, full stop.
Arby's fries are a next level. I would have them.
Yeah, they are amazing.
Five Guys fries.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Arby's fries, curly ones, are really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
The studio is a mess and we need to fix it.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of problems. The beard's on the pulse of the issues. And as you get more busy, you probably notice the cracks more, right? Yep. You do, right? It's like, oh shit, when I don't have 100% attention on this, this thing breaks.
Yep.
And that is a real problem. And I kind of want to use your perspective on it because I have been in the exact position you're at. You know, all of a sudden I'm having kids, or all of a sudden I'm having a business, or all of a sudden, you know, all these things. Like, we have problems. We legitimately have problems, and we're trying to solve them one show at a time. And we have been making good progress over 2017. But shit, if we don't have some stuff to fix.
It's not even like necessarily direct show things either. There's also like behind the scenes things.
Oh, yeah.
We need to address.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. And you have been, I don't know, for at least a year and 6 months been promoting. I don't know. I'm trying to think of another word. What's another word for promoting? Advocating. Yeah. You have been advocating Trello.
Yeah. I think that we could use Trello in a variety of situations. We could have private Trellos where we have better communication between people in JB to get various projects done.
Like what, though? Like what would we privately? I agree publicly, but privately, what would we do in Trello that we wouldn't do in Slack or Telegram today?
Well, I think the difference with Trello is you would have like dedicated cards to certain projects and people could continue to leave comments on those cards and they stay as those cards.
So we would have like a TechSnap card.
Yeah. Or a card for a specific project in a TechSnap Trello.
It's like Slack works well when you're like actively collaborating, but Trello would bring that like if you need to see like oh, is the artwork done? I have X and X and X that need to get done before new TechSnap launches. If you could see it all in one board glance because they were each in the column that represented their state, for instance.
So all the stuff that I am required to do would be trackable?
I guess that's
or other people to do, or other people to do.
Well, but I mean, that's the reality of it, right? Like, you need a new logo? Well, talk to Chris. You need a new RSS feed image? Talk to Chris. You need a new thing hosted? Talk to Chris. You need a new website thing? Talk to Chris.
You are the central bottleneck.
You need new intro music? Talk to Chris, right? I mean, like, it feels like basically what you guys are talking about is like a public system to track Chris.
A Chris API.
Here is a different way to look at it. Instead of you just randomly getting telegrams for these things, you have
right.
a Trello you can look at when you have the time and respond to these things.
But what does that give me that our Slack, like, let's say we had a dedicated text, which we do.
Well, step one, less distraction.
Yeah, Slack channels can get, like, overrun with conversation, sometimes rightfully, sometimes wrongfully.
Really.
Yeah. But that it makes it hard to go review, like, what's the status of this? Is it done? What's the latest comments in a way that's just that issue? Now, you could maybe do that with threads in a Slack channel. That might be possible, but not quite the same.
Okay. So let's take new TechSnap. TechSnap TNG. What do we call the new TechSnap? What do you call that?
TechSnap Discovery.
That's actually pretty good. We should roll with that. So what do you call TechSnap Discovery? Because it's you and me reinventing the show. Like, if you're going to launch TechSnap today, what would you do? You would do XYZ, right?
Hang on. I got an issue with this TechSnap Discovery thing. We're going through the chronology of Star Trek. So we had the original TechSnap.
True.
Then we had TechSnap The Next Generation.
TNG, yeah.
Where is Deep Space TechSnap?
Okay.
Deep Space TechSnap's pretty good.
I like that.
Deep Space TechSnap's pretty accurate, actually. What I don't fully understand is how Trello gives me anything that Telegram and Slack don't give me.
Well, how do you see, like, one specific issue, one project status?
Give me an example.
Any work that's being done on JB.
Moving TechSnap MP3 feeds over to Fireside.
So, like, how do you have a list of things that need to get done for that?
Yeah, but that's just all me. That's just all on me. That's just all work that I need to do.
Try to think of this also as not just something that's on you. Try to think of it as stuff that you could put on a tracker for other people to do, too. Like,
But nobody else is going to do that but me.
Well, for example, like, if...
You know what I mean? Like, okay, not to interrupt, but, like, my point is, like... if Chris is the only one that's going to do it, and it's never going to happen until Chris does it, what's the point of having a project tracker?
See, I think that you do everything. You don't do everything, Chris.
I do think it can be an aid in delegation.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that. No. What were you going to say?
I do think it can be an aid in delegation, or at least, like, you have
That's cute. That's cute to think that it would be delegation, but it's basically Rikai or I.
Or Angela.
Yeah. So it's three people. But 90% of it's you or I.
I think it's an easier way to...
What do you get if it's just you and me coordinating?
I do find also the maybe less relevant, but in terms of a backlog, cataloging issues.
Fucking for who, dude? For who?
Future you.
Me? Fuck that guy.
Fair.
I'm serious,
no, Chris. But you are, like, one of the most forgetful people I know, so that would be fucking amazing for you.
But what does that give me that Slack history chat doesn't give me? Or Telegram? Or IRC?
I think some structure, basically. Because you'd have to go, like, try to search back for all your project ideas. Right, that would be difficult.
I could say, like, the...
A quick reference for one, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it is. It's like, oh, yeah, I had this idea for a potential show.
So you're saying in 3 years Trello could be valuable?
Yeah.
Or next week because you forgot something that you said 2 days ago.
Yeah, but if it's like TechSnap TNG, I'm not likely to forget that in the next 6 months, right?
Well, I'm not necessarily thinking for, like, even the hugest projects, just, like, small things, like things we need to get updated on the website or...
Yeah, but then why not just engage with the contractor that's going to do that work and just get it done? Why bother with the Trello?
You can then do things like, you know, everything in this column, hey, contractor, go pick things out of this. I do that at work with the Jira board. Like, this is work for you. I've categorized it, put it there. And then instead of having to go ask him when it's done, He I can just see the status of the card. He can update that.
So you're suggesting that I invite this third-party contractor into my Trello and monitor and have him monitor it, and then him just arbitrarily decide what's worth billing me or not?
You would have to dictate, right? Like you would.
Yeah,
you could
but it
flag
sounds like
those.
If he's just following my Trello, he would just arbitrarily decide what to bill me for.
Well, you would have tags or categories or a separate board.
Yeah, emails.
For him.
I call those emails and I send them
That's
to them. I say, hey, can
one
you
do
this
do
work?
It.
I'm not anti Trello. I'm just trying to figure out how it does what it solves that I don't currently do. I don't
see. I also think that there is value in having those things in a separate space that don't send you notifications for one.
And it may be. I think the situation here is that there's enough. You touch enough things. I think maybe Trello isn't the right fit. Where systems like that make sense is when there's more things going on at once than you have room in your inbox to actually see on one page and actively keep track of, right? And that may not be the case for JB, especially with if it's just you and Rikai and maybe
no,
Angela
it definitely is. It definitely is. It definitely is. I'm literally just trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
See, over the years, I feel like there are things that we could have done that we haven't ended up doing just because it fell through the cracks. And I think if we have something like Trello that keeps those things like in the forefront, that they might get done eventually.
See, I think the reason why I fundamentally disagree with that is because I can't stop thinking about all the things we don't do. So it's like I never stop thinking about all the things we didn't get to. That's all I think about. I think about that every fucking minute of every fucking day. Right? So to me, my head is a Trello board.
But your head is a Trello board that only you have access to.
Yeah.
Did you get that USB interface installed? Because we could just sync it that way, I think.
Well, I mean, part of me goes like, well, fuck all you guys. I'll just downscale and I'll just work on the stuff that I can keep track of. And I really don't give a shit if you can keep track of it. Go fuck yourselves. I'll just work on the stuff that makes the best content. And if you can't keep up, well, then you're not listening to live shows.
That is certainly one way to do it.
It's not a good one.
No, it's not necessarily the best
no.
way.
But I'm saying that as a part of it. It's like, well, you know, like that's the resistance I have.
Yes. Well, and it's like it's a change. It's a different process. It may be overhead, in some cases unnecessary overhead. So there are. It's not like there aren't risks to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth considering.
What it comes back, what it comes down to is JB a is it a 10-person company or is it a 3 or 4 person
yes,
company?
Yes, that's very well said.
Yeah, and then when you make that decision, then that's where these other things come into play. And I do kind of, I grok what you're saying, like Trello or Bugzilla or whatever it would be. There's got to be like 15 things that we would like to fix right. if we had the time.
And so sometimes it's useful to at least, and maybe not for the private part, maybe this is for public or whatever, but like when you do have a little time and you're not sure like, instead of solving the thing that was last a problem, you can go assess like what are all the problem space.
When do you have that time? When do you have that time?
And probably don't.
And the last question I have before I shut up is, when is that not a tool you use just to shame yourself? Well, you know, fuck me because I'm not getting this done. Fuck me because I'm not getting this aspect of my business taken care of. Fuck me because we're not being competitive in this area. Like to me, it seems like just a good list of shit that you're not doing right.
There is that aspect, and you have to be careful with it. I guess it depends on if you want to, either way, you're not getting those things done. So it's whether you want to have that in front of you and not. And if you never get the chance to fix them, maybe there's no point.
Yeah.
Where I think about it is like, there's been that ice cast issue, right?
Yeah.
Like that could be a thing. And maybe you never look at it, but I did a little research on an FFmpeg solution. I don't know Rika didn't like it, so we might not do it, but I could put those comments in there. That could be its isolated thing that then you could go check on if you wanted.
That's a good example.
Yeah, and that's something like, you know, anybody that's involved in the back end of JB could come in and comment and give alternative ideas and...
And it lives in its own space rather than cluttering up. And that's the thing is like Slack has this immediacy because it's like a live feed that you're following, whereas Trello abstracts that into a by content.
If individuals actually engaged in the Trello conversation, I have an idea or I have some thoughts, then it seems valuable.
Yeah.
But if it's just sort of a keep a list of things that Chris isn't getting done, not as valuable.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't mean to make this about me, but that is sort of what it would turn into.
You are obviously the heart and soul of the network.
What is Chris not getting done?
Yeah.
See, I guess I was thinking of it as more for like behind the scenes stuff rather than stuff relating to specific shows, like things like the
TechSnap reboot.
No, like
the Icecast
stuff.
Oh yeah, kind of stuff. The audio stream.
Yeah, stuff that's not necessarily related to you, but needs to get done for JB to make JB better.
So how do you convert that into just an item that sits there nagging you? Like, we know about it. The three of us know about this problem with the live audio stream. We all know about it.
I think there's just this presence.
What is the difference between putting it on the list, between knowing about it? Shaming ourselves for not fixing
it. Well, to me, it's not necessarily the fact that it's on a list shaming me. It's more, it's a specific collaborative space for solving that issue where you
But you know what the fix is.
Do I?
I don't know. I assume you do. Yeah, I mean, I assume you have an idea of what the fix is, right?
Well, there's various ways to fix it, and we're trying to decide what the best one is.
Can you give me an example where the audience input has helped us decide?
I'm not talking about audience input. I'm talking about, like, private discussions with JB staff.
Okay.
Like, Wes and I have been conversing about it with each other, but that's stuff that nobody else on the JB staff has heard about because we've been talking to each other.
Yeah, for sure. I guess what I worry about is blame deferral. You know, all of these seems like tools to integrate blame deferral. Well, we've been discussing the fix for the audio stream for 3 months in the Trello chat. In reality, one person in the group knows what the goddamn fix is and just needs to go fucking do it. Right? Isn't that really the truth?
I mean, I guess it depends on how you approach your Trello board at the end of the day.
Yeah. That's definitely a risk. I think that can happen now and probably does in Slack as well.
So the issue for this example with the audio stream is that, you know, after like a month, like it goes silent. The audio stream just dies. And the jblive.fm stream is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't remember, within like 25 days to do like some sort of process reboot, the stream goes silent. That's an issue we all know about, and we could talk about it. I feel like we could talk about it for like 3 months in Trello, but it doesn't make any actual difference. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any config change difference. It really just means like Chris needs to get involved in a conversation and say we should do X. But I could do that now without Trello.
Yeah, you definitely could. And for small stuff, I think you're right. It maybe just is nice in the lack of immediacy. You know, I could propose something. If Rikai liked it, he could then move that card.
What would be the difference between you doing that and you saying that in like the Slack chat?
That would work. For low volumes, that probably works.
But we are low volume.
Yeah. True.
I'm not trying to be anti-trial. I'm just trying to like figure out how it's actually effective. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to me, I don't know. I just don't want it to be a tool of responsibility deferral. As long as it's a tool of actual action, not a tool of responsibility deferral, I'm all on board.
I think that the problem that I have with the Slack is sometimes things get mentioned and then, you know, other conversations.
Nothing happens, yeah.
Yeah, other conversations go on and it gets pushed off to the side and nothing ever happens with it.
But don't you feel like for the Trello to be effective, you need somebody who is sort of monitoring that? Like, hey, guys, we said we were going to do this and nothing's happened. And you need somebody sort of sitting back and saying, like, I'm that person and I'm going to monitor the Trello and I'm going to hold people accountable. And unless you have that particular role, the Trello is just as ineffective as Slack or Matrix or Telegram or anything else.
I suppose.
Yeah, to some extent, there does need to be that, right? There has to be, like, unless everyone has the same amount of control, there are these gates. I think that it was just examples of...
Well, like, if you were going to affect change in JB, what would be the mechanism today you would use?
Probably try to harass Beard first, and then if he couldn't do it, he'd bother you. That's usually how it goes.
I mean, I'm not opposed to like identifying what our goals are, what we need to work on, and then like creating a common set of like goals for all of us to accomplish.
Yeah, the way I often see
I'm not
Trello,
opposed to that.
I often see Trello used as like they have a wish list, and then they have a to-do, which is like more than a wish list, like stuff that you need to get done eventually, and then stuff that's in progress and stuff that's been completed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I think part of me feels like it's more useful for a larger organization.
That is certainly true.
Where a lot of it comes down to what is Chris going to get done versus not going to get done.
Yeah. And maybe all we really need is a list of shit to fix in whatever form, even if that's just a channel that no one really adds anything else to.
I have thought about a bug tracker before, like a public bug tracker.
But see, to me, Trello makes more sense than a bug tracker, even if it's public, because then you minimize all the extra things that come with a bug tracker, and you just list the shit that you need done.
Trello does have a really nice minimalism to it. It's easy to interact with and easy to use and quick, rather than like a bug tracker, at least a lot like Bugzilla or whatever. It's kind of like laborious. You have to do lots of page refreshes. And so that's one thing about Trello that is very appealing.
You get assigned bug severity. You get all the extra 50 million things.
That's true.
Trello, you just type in what you want. You put it in a status. You put it in whatever column you want. You're done.
All right. Let us know what you think. Hashtag Ask Air, Discord, IRC, or Twitter. Let us know what you think. It's time for a little Ask Air. Hashtag Ask Air coming in from Cashflow Doctor. What would you do with a time machine if you could go back to any place in time and stay there? Well, where would you go? I'm going to open this up to Mr. Westpain first.
Any place in time, huh?
Any place in time where you could go back and you could then stay there. You couldn't come back to present, right? So once you pick it, you got to stay there. I think that's the rules we should follow.
No, that's pretty reasonable. You know, I think the Roaring Twenties, assuming I was happy with the ending of my life, I think I just like to go out in style right then.
Now, I want to add a couple of elements to this for your consideration.
Yeah, okay.
You can download Wikipedia as it is right now, today, completely offline to your phone. And you can, when you travel back in time, you can take your smartphone with you. Would you still go to the Roaring Twenties?
No, I think I would go maybe
a little bit further, maybe the 50s, maybe the 60s.
Yeah, possibly. Or earlier than that. What about like founding of America days?
Right.
Get some really good strangleholds on a bunch of resources?
Maybe. Because you think about it, you have offline Wikipedia, so you got dirt on a lot of early founders.
Yeah,
right. You got the dirt. So you, even without like not even say you forgo the Biff Fontana like betting on the sports games, but you just bet on the politicians that are corrupt, and you bet on the companies that are corrupt.
I could be the man behind the. With the
you
strings.
Could with,
yeah.
even just with offline Wikipedia, you could fucking run the. You could run the whole game. You could run it.
I like that.
Yeah, I really feel like the 60s or the 70s would be the time to go, just before all of the relevant characters today are relevant.
See, I think the whole offline Wikipedia thing is a red herring.
Oh yeah,
because you're gonna go back there, you're gonna do stuff, and it's gonna change history. So that Wikipedia is no longer going to be relevant.
Bitcoin. If I could go back in time right now, it would be Bitcoin. I'd take all of the monies I had, which is not much, and I would invest it in frickin' Bitcoin, because as we record this episode, Bitcoin is damn near worth $10,000 of U.S. greenbacks, and that's what I would do. I would go back in time with Wikipedia. I'd bet against Ballmer. I'd bet on Jobs, and I'd bet on Bitcoin. And just those three hedges alone, not even talking Google, not even talking Amazon or any of the other players, I'd be just totally making bank.
See, I would, I'd go back to the 90s and I'd be the 90s VC.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, though. I mean, look at Bitcoin right now, right? If you know what you knew back in the past, you would totally get down on Microsoft stock, Google, Apple, and Bitcoin. Boom!
Actually, I'd probably go for Amazon.
And Red Hat.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty big fan of the vagina, as a total. Like, in totality, I like the vagina, I like what it's about, and I like the way it feels. If you were to ask me to design a better vagina, I couldn't do it. But having some experience now, as an objective party with the vagina, I have some notes. And if you guys would just entertain me, this isn't a sexist thing. These are just observation over the years with different sexual partners and some of the challenges they have faced, and do not represent any one particular sexual partner. Are you willing to hear my notes on the vagina?
Sure.
All right. Now, much respect, because this thing can produce children, which the penis cannot. So there is in no way any disrespect towards the vagina. But I have to admit, I feel like the vagina is a poor design. I feel like when you put the birthing canal next to the pooping canal, you invite yourself to a range of issues over time that could take the vagina out of commission. You know? And then when you combine the peeing elements with the birthing elements and they're so close together with the pooping elements, it's very, very confusing. I can't tell if that's peeing. I can't tell if that's some other excitement. It's just a lot of liquid. You know what I'm saying? And this all is very close together, and much of this tears during the pregnancy and birthing process. I just feel like if you're going to redesign something, the vagina would be the first on the list for redesign. Would you agree? I mean, Wes, I mean, not to disparage the vagina. As a fan, I'm sure you are.
You know, it seems like our bodies are mostly just terrible. I don't know if I would be first on the list. I think right. It's definitely high up
on
the list.
I actually think it's first. Because, like, you look at the dick, right? The dick, the hole of the dick, that, like, your pee hole is, in terms of the body, quite a ways away from where your butthole's at. So, like, the bacteria of your butthole isn't getting in your dick hole because they're so far apart. But, like, the vagina, one wrong wipe, my friend, and you have just introduced fecal matter into your vaginal hole.
Here's a counterpoint. We've got the some of the most vulnerable parts of our body hanging on the outside of us.
Man, yeah, that's a good point. That is a good.
Rika, put your pants back on.
But this is more comfortable.